Proverbs and chapter number 1. As I've mentioned the other day on Wednesday night, I'm going to begin working my way through the book of Proverbs and different services here and there. And we began a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. We will continue with beginning in verse number 5 this evening. The Bible says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And let's have a word of prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask for the mind of Christ tonight as we look at the book of Proverbs and strive to understand and comprehend these verses that we might better serve you and love you as you deserve to be loved and served. May we love you tonight with all of our mind as we seek your face in Scripture, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the book of Proverbs is meant to be an intellectual book. A proverb is a wise saying. It's a wise but brief saying meant to drive home some deep truths. And so we are supposed to strive to understand it, of course. And as we looked at last time we looked in the book of Proverbs, we understood that wisdom in the book of Proverbs and in the Bible is talking about skill in understanding and knowing how to use the way the world works. And particularly God's wisdom is knowing how to use God's setup in the world for laying up treasure in heaven and also accomplishing things on earth. And so we talked about that in great detail last time. And so here we find in verse number 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." And so the Bible says a wise man, a man that is skillful, a man that is understanding of how this world works. And let me just say, we have the physical natural laws as illustration of the spiritual laws of God. And just as there's laws of gravity that we can understand and even manipulate, and even as there are laws of physics that we can understand and even use to our advantage, so there are also spiritual truths that can be applied in our lives and to our homes and families to accomplish the work of God here on earth. And we're supposed to strive to know these. And so the Bible says a wise man, one that is skillful and does know how things work, will hear. And the word here, to hear, is the word that means to hear with intelligence. All right. In other words, we are to hear and understand. And this is so important in the Christian life, is to strive to hear with understanding. You know, a lot of the times what the preacher says and what our parents say and what we do when we're reading our Bible is a lot like, you know, the adults on Charlie Brown, you know, wah, 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 right? And you get nothing out of it, right? And so it's so essential to understand that if I am going to be wise, I have to strive to know what's being said. There are so many false teachings that just come from not really understanding what we're reading when it comes to the Word of God. I was just talking to someone the other day, and he has a different kind of standards and beliefs in certain areas. And he said to me, he quoted a passage of Scripture, and I said to him, "Stop, turn to it. Read it in context." And immediately he had completely twisted it to not have any meaning from where it was from. And let me just say, as soon as I had pointed it out, he understood it and recognized it very quickly. And so the point is, when we come to the Word of God, we are to here, but that means here with our brain engaged. And so our heart is to be quieted, but our mind is to be engaged. And let me just say, we all understand the difference. We understand the difference between hearing with intelligence and just hearing the words go in my ears, right? And you know how it is. Your wife's talking to you and you're in some far off land somewhere, right? I mean, that's how it works, isn't it? And it's like, hello, you know, are you in there? And too often that's the way it is with the Lord and even with the Bible if we're not careful. And so we should be striving to hear with intelligence. Matter of fact, let's go to Genesis 11 to see another use of this word here. Genesis 11, and this is the negation of it. In other words, this is the opposite of hearing used here in Genesis 11 and verse number 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the word there is the same word in negation used here in Proverbs. And so what did God say? I'm going to confound their language so that when they speak to each other, they hear each other, but they don't hear each other. And so when I am reading my Bible, it is essential that I am striving to hear what God says. When I am in a church service and listening to the Word of God preached, it is essential that I am trying to hear what God says with my brain working. And that is a discipline, right? I mean, the only difference between hearing just the words go in and bounce around in there and come back out, and the words go in and the brain get engaged, the only difference is my attentiveness to it, right? I mean, all I have to do is decide to read it with understanding, and I can. Matter of fact, we've all done it. You know, we read through the Bible, and then we go back. Whoa, wait a minute. I just zoned out there. Let me go back and read that again a little more carefully. And the difference between the first and the second is very simply our attention to it. All right. So a wise man will hear with intelligence and intently striving to understand the meaning of the words being spoken or read, in this case, concerning the Word of God. The interesting part to me in this verse, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, is interesting is God calls me wise before I have increased learning. And so God says that his wisdom is not about what you know, but rather it is about your approach to things. And so wisdom is an attitude. Wisdom is an approach. Wisdom is saying, I want to know how things work. I want to be attentive to what I hear. And particularly when it comes to the Word of God, I want to make sure that I am striving to understand it. I want to know what God says and what he means. This is so essential to my life as a Christian. And so God calls this person wise even before they increase in learning. A wise man does the little things diligently that lead to wisdom. Wisdom is an attitude, just as foolishness is an attitude. And a fool has an impatient attitude. A wise man has a diligent attitude. A fool doesn't want to hear. Oh, okay. Whatever. All right. You know, in Chicago, when I worked in Chicago, they used to do this. The teenagers do that. Talk to the hand. Right. All right. Talk to Stella about that. And they used to do that. She still does it, huh, Jose? The truth is that that's kind of like saying, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. And that's too often what we do to the Lord, of course. Wisdom is an attitude, an approach to life, and foolishness is an approach to life. And that's why I can be wise in different stages of life. You can be a wise child. You can be a wise teenager. You can be a wise adult. You can be a wise young adult. You can be a wise middle-aged adult. You can be a wise older adult. And we won't go any further than that, all right? And you can be a wise person at every stage of life, because it's not about what you know. It's about your approach to knowing. And that's so essential. It means when my parents talk, if I'm a child, I'm supposed to be listening, wanting to know how things were. It means if I talk to anybody who knows more about a subject than I do, I'm going to be, or even if I'm not sure, I'm going to be listening intently to understand what they're saying so I can add that to my knowledge, right? So that I can make better decisions in life, and particularly when it comes to the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and see kind of the other side of the coin, the other approach from wisdom. Proverbs 14 and verse number 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And folly is another way of saying foolishness. And so when I'm hasty of spirit, I exalt foolishness. Why? The fool rushes in without considering all the facts. The fool doesn't want to gain perspective. The fool leaps before he looks. And this is just a fool because of his approach. It's like, all right, I'm going in this direction. Who cares what's in front of me? I'm just running, right? And this is foolishness, of course. And this is a characteristic of a fool. Proverbs 18, and it's all through the book of Proverbs. And verse number 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it. And there's that word again. And it means before he really understands what's being said. Right? He that, let me find my verse again here. Where am I at in my notes? Verse 29. You look up and you have to, or verse 13 rather. You look up and you look back down and lose it. All right. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. So there it is again. It is foolishness. And so let me just say in life, I'm supposed to be wise. What does that mean? It means I want to make sure that I'm trying to understand what people around me are saying so that I can gain knowledge from it. And in particular, in context, it means that the book of Proverbs, and really in general context, the whole Bible, I'm to be especially attentive to. And my desire should be, God, what are you saying? And how can I understand that so that I can apply it to my life? And so this is an attitude. So wisdom really is an approach to life, and foolishness is an approach to life. And so the Bible says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. And so increase in learning. Increase means to add to what you already have, to accumulate knowledge in this case, and learning is information received. And so my job when I read the Bible is to accumulate to what I already know more knowledge of the way things work. And let me just say, Bible knowledge not put into action has little value, and so I'm supposed to be reading it so I can put it into action, of course. And so this is the goal, really, in the Christian life. A wise man will listen intelligently, striving to understand what is being said, so he can accumulate information so that he can make well-informed decisions. Proverbs 13, of course, and we've mentioned this last time as well, but it kind of gives us that same idea. Verse number 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And I think the concept here on the balance of this verse is that the pride that brings contention is foolishness. That it basically is, I don't need to hear the whole thing. I don't need to look at it from every part. I just have the answer, so to speak. And we all probably at times act in a foolish manner. But the bottom line is we're supposed to strive not to be that way. And so a wise man will listen intelligently, especially to the Word of God, striving to understand what is being said so he can accumulate information so he can make well-informed decisions. You know, doctrinally, this is so important, right? The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be mature in the Christian life so that we are not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Do you ever know someone that just went from like a denomination to denomination, just full force over here, and then full force over here, and then full force over here? And it's just like, wow, take a little time to figure out what's right and then stay there. And let me just say, my doctrine can be changed if someone can show me in the Bible that I'm wrong, but it will not be changed in a moment. I don't even understand someone who says, and I've heard this over, I've read one time someone gave me a book on preterism. And preterism is complicated end times theology, all right? It's the idea that most of prophecy has been fulfilled by 70 AD with the destruction of Jerusalem, and then only a few prophecies remain yet unfulfilled in the future. But the bottom line is, the fellow writing the book said, I always believed in a pre-trib rapture position, and until, he said, one day I hadn't read my Bible through all the way, and one day I decided to do it, and I got to the book of Matthew, and got to Matthew 24, and this hit me, I'm not sure it's Matthew 24 now, all of a sudden I think about it, where Jesus said, this generation shall not pass. And he said, as soon as I read that, all my doctrine changed. I'm like, boy, you should have thought through a little bit ahead of time and taken your time to absorb what was meant there. And guess what? That book was 500 pages long. All right. And 500 pages when his doctrine was changed in a moment of time. And so I don't think this is the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be very careful and change our position slowly when it is proven to us from Scripture in these kind of areas, of course. And so a wise man will listen intelligently, striving to understand what is being said so he can accumulate information so that he can make well-informed decisions. Let's go back to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. So a habit of our life should be to strive to hear so we can increase in learning information gathered in the mind. And then the Bible says in the second half of the verse, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. All right. And so here we find again the word understanding that we have already looked at and realize that this word means thorough knowledge. And as I mentioned in illustration, I have a knowledge, a working knowledge of how my car works and operates. I know how to put it in drive and put it in reverse and put it in park. I know how to push the gas pedal and push the brake pedal. I know how to start it. I know how to do all of those things. It is operational in my life, but I don't have an understanding of how my car works. I don't understand how the gas goes into the chambers and the compression chambers or whatever they are, and how it ignites and then the pressurizes. I have just a glimmer of understanding in that area, but I don't understand that. A mechanic understands how a car operates. I have a useful knowledge of it, all right? And so a man of understanding, one with thorough knowledge, shall attain unto wise counsels, all right? And so a man of understanding who has thorough knowledge will attain. To attain means to procure or purchase through means of effort, in a sense, to earn. And so attain unto would mean to reach that level by effort, all right? And so I can, as a man of understanding, if I accumulate knowledge to the point of having the big picture of whatever it is spiritually in my life I'm talking about, and let me just say, I'm supposed to be, if I'm a husband, I'm supposed to be gathering information from the Bible about how to be a husband and striving to have a thorough knowledge in that area, not just a surface knowledge, but a thorough knowledge so that I can be the husband that I'm supposed to be. And let me just say, attain unto wise counsels means just that. It means I reach the intended goal. All right. Wise counsels are skillful plans set forth by others. And in context, it's by the word of God. Right. And so how am I supposed to reach where God wants me to reach? That's what it's all about, and that's what's happening here. And so a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, a man who has thorough knowledge, gathered, of course, by listening intently and gaining knowledge and gathering that learning to the point of a thorough knowledge of a subject this man will reach the intended goal. Of course, the wise counsels. So if I have a wise approach in life, I will listen diligently to gather information until I have a thorough knowledge so I can execute the plans envisioned by my counselors. And in context, this especially applies to the book of Proverbs and more generally to the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and be reminded of something we already fully know. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so what is God's goal for my life as a Christian? The Bible is meant to, for me to gain a thorough knowledge in any area of good work and grow to maturity in that area so that I can make a difference and lay up treasure in heaven. And so this is, of course, accomplished by a wise approach to Scripture. So I should approach the Word of God, striving to understand the meaning of the words so that I can accumulate information that it will enable me to have a thorough knowledge that will equip me to attain the blessed life the Bible counsels me to. All right. Anyone still with me? All right. Anyone still with me tonight? Joshua 1. You get to practice what I'm preaching tonight right now. All right. You get to put your mind to it. I hate to make you think in church, but I hate to do that to you, but that's what the Bible teaches. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate to think deeply. Now, I know we're fundamental Baptists, but God does want us to think deeply. It is fundamental Baptist, right? And just kidding, all right? And shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so that's the blessed life. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean material prosperity, but it does mean a peace that passes understanding, prosperity in my life, maybe not in every area, because God always is going to give us some testing and some difficulties and burdens to bear, a cross to carry, so to speak. But in many areas of my life, I can have, of course, the blessing of God and overall live a blessed life, successful. How? By meditating upon the Word of God. That's how I do it. That's what the Bible says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, let me say, a lot of us probably have that verse memorized since we were a child, but it's important to understand what it's saying, right? That's the key. What is it saying? And it is saying that I'm to meditate on the Word of God so I can know how to do all that is in it. Every chapter, every verse, every letter is important. The Word of God is important. Genesis to Revelation. I'm supposed to be thinking about it, meditating on it, and then trying to incorporate its principles and commands into my life. Why? So that God can bless my life richly, mainly, of course, allowing me to lay up treasure in heaven. All right. And so this is what God wants. James 1 says it the same thing, basically a little bit differently. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And so where do we normally fail? I think most Christians fail on the approach, right? We fail to approach the Word of God wisely, right? And so our failure is not even really comprehending what we're hearing and reading, and not really even striving to. And this, of course, is a foolish way to approach the Word of God. James 1 and verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, meditation, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so I'm to strive to know the Word of God that I may do it. I'm to strive to glean principles from it, whereby reading with understanding that I may do them, that God can bless my life more and make it more useful to accomplish His will. And so this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. And so let me read overall thought again. So I should approach the Word of God, striving to understand the meaning of the words so that I can accumulate information, truth, that will enable me to have a thorough knowledge that will equip me to attain the blessed life the Bible counsels me to. But this all breaks down when I don't understand what the Bible's saying. It breaks down right there. Because if I don't understand it, then I cannot strive to obey it. All right. And so the Bible tells us, back to book of Proverbs, chapter 1, as we've mentioned. And Proverbs, chapter 1. And such a powerful thought and statement here that God is really saying to us. And the whole point of the book is to get us to think. Right? I mean, that's what Proverbs is about. It's wise things that we might think deeply about the things of God and strive to understand how things work in this spiritual world in which we live. And so that's what God wants for us. And so Proverbs 1 and verse number 5 again, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse number 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And once again, this is an all in context of the introduction that Solomon is giving to the book of Proverbs, saying this is what I want Proverbs to do. And this is what, of course, God wants Proverbs to do in our life. And so he says to understand, or that I might understand a proverb. That's thorough knowledge. That's understanding exactly what that those words mean, comprehending, therefore, what the sentence means, being able to understand what is God saying when he says these proverbs. Proverbs, of course, a wise and brief saying. Interpretation, understanding that allows me to concisely rephrase what is being taught. And this is so important, right? Because what happens in life is oftentimes we have a basic grip of the hem of the garment of something, but we really don't have an understanding to the point of interpretation. And what is interpretation? An interpretation is a restating of the principle, the ability to restate it concisely. This happens all the time in learning, right? If I'm a teacher, when I was a boy, and let's say the teacher was teaching me a math concept, how often would they go through and teach it? And they would say to me, do you understand? And I would say, yes. And my teacher would say to me, good teachers, they would say to me, explain it back to me. Explain it back to me. And if I could not explain it back to them, I was just barely grasping it, right? And so explaining it back is interpretation. When I read the Bible, I'm supposed to be able to understand it so thoroughly after, of course, diligently considering the very words that I'm reading, that I can restate the truth another way. And really, that's kind of what preaching is, right? A lot of times preaching is basically restating and illustrating and so forth truths. And this is what we're supposed to strive for, is understanding that is so thorough that I can concisely rephrase what is being taught. And the words of the wise, the words of the skilled, and their dark sayings, these puzzles that are the Proverbs, and in some ways, the puzzles that are the Word of God, because, of course, ultimately we will not fully comprehend it until we are with Christ and He teaches us Himself, of course. But we should be striving for that. This reminds us that we should be exercising our intellect in the Christian life. And let me just say, I don't know about you, but I enjoy that much more, right? I mean, me personally, I don't want to think about the little things of life. I mean, I want to think about the big things. I mean, I want to talk about, I mean, when I was in school, my favorite subject was algebra. All right. I mean, I loved it. All right. I just absolutely loved it. You say, why? Because you had to think about it. And you had to think deeply about it sometimes to not only understand how to get that to work, but why it worked. I mean, do you ever think about when you're doing an algebraic equation that this has meaning beyond the numbers you're writing on the page? That this literally has real world applications that people actually use it in? You say, no, that's impossible. And so that's what makes it interesting to me. When I think about the Bible, I mean, I want to think deeply about the Trinity of God and about the atonement that was done when Christ died for our sin. I want to understand thoroughly salvation by grace through faith. I also want to comprehend the ins and outs of my eternal security. And I want to think about these things deeply. The holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the loveliness of God. What is gratitude? And not only how does it work, why does it work? Now, I'll never understand all these things, but I think this is what the Lord means when He says we're supposed to love Him with all of our mind. Matthew 22. Now, once again, I think often we don't go here because, church in a lot of ways, and the Bible and Christianity in a lot of ways, is not the big thing in our life like it should be, that pearl of great price. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And remember, Joshua, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. When you think about gratitude, you understand what brings gratitude in my life. Well, of course, thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness brings thankfulness, and thankfulness brings praise. And so all of these things really depend upon what I think about. And that's why that's why we say amen in church. Why? We're engaged in what's happening. And we're thinking, yes, that's true. That's why when a song is sung and we hear a point that we're saying, wow, that means something to me. And so we're not supposed to just say amen to a song just for the fun of it. Amen. Who's looking at me? Not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be, wow, I thought about that. It hit me and it made a difference in my life. And that's what is supposed to happen in life. We're to love Him with all of our minds. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is especially true about His words, right? It is especially true about His words. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study. There's that curse word in the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word study here implies a diligent effort that, of course, is further reinforced by the word workman. I'm supposed to labor in the word. And I don't care if you're a plumber or a housewife or a teenager or a child. You are supposed to be, if you're a Christian and you know Jesus as your Savior, you're supposed to be laboring in this book regularly. Laboring. Trying to grasp something you don't understand yet. That is supposed to be what we're supposed to do in the Christian life. And so the Bible reminds us, of course, of this. Back to the book of Proverbs. Wow, I've got to hurry. Back to the book of Proverbs. A wise man will hear, verse 5, and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the concept here is, if I'm going to understand a proverb, and if I'm going to understand the interpretation, understand it so thoroughly that I can rephrase it, if I'm going to understand these words of the wise and their puzzles or dark, mysterious sayings, then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is, of course, essential to the Christian life. It is a respect for the power and authority of God Himself. It is a realization of reality. God holds my very breath in His hand. And God can not only destroy the body, but He can destroy the soul in hell for all of eternity. And so, to be honest, the fear of God is just a grasp of reality, right? I mean, that's the fear of the Lord. To not have the fear of the Lord is just to be delusional. That's really what it is. And so the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Matthew 10, of course, states exactly what I just mentioned. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 28. Matthew 10 and verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And let me just say, it is just a grasp on reality. And so it is that there are things that, of course, can harm me in life, and I should have a respect for them, right? When I drive a car, I should understand that that is thousands of pounds of metal going 80 miles an hour down the highway, and a lot of lunatics around me driving the same thing, all right? When I go up to great heights somewhere, if I'm standing on the top of the Grand Canyon, I have to have a reality check there that if I fall off that thing, it's going to hurt when I hit the bottom if I'm still conscious, right? And so the truth is, this is just a grasp of reality. When I start up a power tool and I start up a reciprocating saw, or I plug in and start up a circular saw, I have to understand that what I'm working with could take my arm off, right? That's just reality, okay? And so when it comes to the Lord, the fear of the Lord is that respect for the power and authority of God. And this is the beginning, the source, the starting point of knowledge. Knowledge, of course, is mentally retained factual information. And so the concept there is, if I'm going to understand anything that is true, if I'm going to have a real grasp on reality, it starts with the reality that God is. And that who He is should be feared, of course. And so if I do not start by understanding that I will answer to God ultimately in life, then I cannot get things factually straight. Hebrews 11. And this is why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because he approaches things as if there is. And let me just say, almost all atheists that you talk to, they literally have never looked into it, or never looked into it very much, the evidence for God. You say, why haven't they? They think atheism is the default position. And so they say, you got to convince me that there is a God. There's not enough evidence that God exists. This is simply a foolish notion, right? I mean, this would be like saying, I'm not getting on that airplane until you prove to me that it will actually fly, and I know all of the understanding about it. This is completely basically saying, I am in the default position of never leaving the house because I don't know that anything is safe, so to speak. And instead, it's really not putting any effort into knowledge, all right? And so, of course, once they begin to look into it, they would find that all of the evidence of truth is on God's existence and, of course, His word. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Here's the definition of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is the foundation for all truth in my life. God is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you get that, you've got everything in the Christian life. If you get that, you have everything. You know, if I could ever convince myself that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, it would change my life. It would change my life. Why do I not put the effort into it that I should? Because I don't believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, or else I would. And so this is really the foundation for all truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, again, one who does not carefully consider all the information, and it has an implication in the book of Proverbs of slothfulness. Why do I not want to look at it carefully and make a decision cautiously with understanding? Why do I not want to do that? Because I'm too lazy to put the effort into it. And it implies slothfulness in the book of Proverbs. Fools despise to disdain or take lightly wisdom, skill, knowing how things work. It is foolish to not care about the how of things, or even the why of things, to not want a thorough knowledge. This is a foolish approach to life. Well, I don't really want to know about the Word of God. And let me say, lots of times Christians do this to pastors, right? They say, don't tell me how and why and all that. Just tell me what to do, right? Just tell me what to do. What to do is not that important. Why and how to make the decision. That's what's important. You know, if I'm going to teach math, I don't want to teach you how to do this problem. I want to teach you how to do all problems like this. I want to teach the approach, right? And so as a pastor, my job is really to teach the approach as much as it is the decisions. To teach the philosophy behind why we do these things. Otherwise, if we just get up in church and say, separate from this and separate from that and don't do this and don't do that, in a generation or two, when the wise have not been taught, no one will be separating from those things. The wise are the real important part, that thorough knowledge. And so fools despise wisdom. They don't want to have that skill that comes from thorough knowledge. And instruction, which again we talked about last time, instruction is teaching as a form of correction. So instruction, the implication when I'm instructing someone is, you don't know how to do it or you're doing it wrong, so let me instruct you how to do it right. That's the implication. And so God says fools despise, of course, wisdom. They're too lazy to want the big picture. They just want somebody to make the decision for them or hand it to them or do whatever in life, right? That's too difficult to want to know why. And then they despise instruction. They despise someone telling them, hey, you're doing it a little wrong. Let me give you some insight or instruction in this area. Proverbs chapter 5. And if you ever do get in an area where you're teaching someone, you're talking to people, in whatever area of life it is, you can see these characteristics begin to pop up. And whether it's teaching a math class or coaching a baseball team or teaching a Sunday school class or whatever it might be, or even teaching your own children, of course. Proverbs 5 and verse number 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, that gentle correction in the form of teaching? And my heart despised reproof. Why? Because instruction has that hidden reproof in it. It's an implied reproof. And we know that, right? If you know how to do something and someone comes and tries to teach you how to do it, you get offended, right? That's what happens. Matter of fact, even if you think you know how to do something and someone tries to teach you how to do it, you get offended. That's the way we are, because I already know this. Especially if someone, imagine someone getting up like Brother Ryan's a roofer and has been, how many years have you roofed? 23 years. Imagine a new kid getting on his crew and then imagine walking up and saying, no, Ryan, you do it this way, right? All right, let me just tell you something. He would not take it well, all right, with good reason. And neither would any of us, you know. And so teaching comes with that implied you're not doing it right. And this, of course, is important. It is imperative, rather, that I learn from correction in life. And so let's look again at verse 12 here. And say, how have I hated instruction in my heart, despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me? I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. And so those corrections that come in the form of instruction are so essential to our life. Proverbs chapter 12. And so I have to strive to take these things. I'm supposed to, if fools make light of understanding the wise, well then, as a wise person, I'm supposed to make much of understanding how things work and why things work. If fools despise instruction, that gentle reproof from someone with more experience than I have, then I am supposed to love instruction because they're helping me not do something wrong. I'm not saying you're supposed to love it when someone who has much less experience than you tries to instruct you. But when someone who has more, certainly we should love that. It is imperative that I learn from this. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And so the Bible explains that I'm supposed to love these things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, the wise of life, the thorough knowledge that allows me to know how and why things work, and instruction, which is that gentle reproof. And let me say, often the gentle reproof of instruction comes from life, right? So I try something and it doesn't work, right? That's a form of gentle correction and instruction, right? It tells me to go back to the drawing board. And sometimes that can be so frustrating, but it is so important in my life. And so I think the real point of Proverbs and the real point of this particular passage that we've talked about this evening is to help us understand that wisdom and foolishness are simply approaches to life. That's, do I want to understand these things clearly or not? Am I coming to it listening carefully? Not just to gain a what to do, but to gain a thorough knowledge of the subject. Look, if we can teach our children to not only know what to do, but why we do it. Why do we live this way? Why do we believe the King James Bible is the inspired and preserved Word of God? Why do we separate from the world? Why do we not listen to the world's music? Why do we not watch certain programs? Why do we abstain from certain activities in life? Why do we do it? Let me just say, it's so essential. It is so essential because it's really the difference between giving a man a fish and teaching them how to fish. It's that difference really in life. And so I really want to know, to have the right approach. And so when your children, for instance, and school's a great teacher here, and I need to be done. School's a great teacher here. And, you know, in school, you know, don't accept that idea, you know, of well, you know, just give me the answer, Mom and Dad. You know, and let me say, it's tempting, right? They don't get it. All right, here's the answer to that one. Go on to the next one. You know, but in reality, we should be wanting them to understand it so that eventually, and you take more time in the short run, and what happens? As they get older, they already know how to get those answers. And all of a sudden, you actually have to put less work into it in the long run of life. And that's really, of course, being efficient with your time. Let's have a word of prayer.